Biscuits and Gravy.
Hello, boys.
What does LP stand for?
Lizard people. Nazi whale margarine pirates.
So far, I've had 7 McRibs. Pol Pot pie.
I'm the prognosticator of prognosticators.
Like a slaughterhouse sangria.
Yeah.
You guys should try to do the intro from memory one time.
Good morning and aloha, Biscuiteers. You got it dialed on in to KAKU 88.5, the voice of
Gravy.
That's right. This is KAKU 88.5, your at work conspiracy station. This is the Biscuits and Gravy show. You got it dialed on into the Truth Network. This isn't NPR. This is BGR, baby. The mainstream media, nay, Vincent Fodi, the lamestream media, they're always trying to do what?
Cover up biscuits and gravy related news.
And divide
and
the
world. And
they
don't cover it up with gravy.
No, they don't.
They cover it up with lies.
With lies, baby. And that's why you got 1 hour fact-filled truth right here on Maui's own free speech network,
this
baby.
This is an obfuscation-free hour.
That's right. Definitely. Oh, and we're going to talk about the CIA ruining art or maybe making art a little bit later on the show.
Or did they save art?
Ooh.
Oh,
who knows?
We're going to talk about that later on
in
the
a
show.
Segment we call The Wings of Change.
I don't think that's what it's called.
That's what it's called, baby.
Working title.
Can we do the intro from memory?
I don't know.
I know it's so far I've had 7 McRibs. And then you say.
Yeah, I was wondering.
And then you say, Palabuck!
I'm the prognosticator of prognosticators.
Pol Pot pie.
Well, you missed the lizard. Lizard people.
Nazi whale margarine pirates.
That's a new clip, baby.
Which was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Yep. Around where? The Arctic Circle of death.
Apparently, there were like...
There was a margarine shortage.
There was a margarine shortage. Was it whale margarine?
So they were making whale margarine.
And then there was pirates that were stealing
the Nazis' whale margarine.
Mm-hmm.
So and some Nazi ships went rogue.
This sounds
as well.
Just like a dream I had one time.
Yeah. Did you fall asleep listening to Biscuits and Gravy?
The butter levels are so low. We must set out to the seas, kill a great butter whale.
That's like when somebody stole a bunch of Canada's like strategic maple syrup reserve.
Yeah.
That was like a real thing that happened.
I can't wait for that to be in a movie, too.
Oh my gosh.
Our strategic maple syrup reserves.
Millions of dollars. Also, like, we have oil reserves, which is a very American thing.
Yeah.
And Canadians have, like, amber maple syrup reserves.
Yeah. Italians have oil reserves, but that's just olive oil.
Olive oil, baby.
So what are we eating here? These are soursop muffins?
What did we eat? Past tense. I've finished mine.
You did. Wow.
Oh, no. You weren't supposed to eat that yet, Rhonda.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
You got to chew into the microphone.
No,
David Pakman loves
that. Now it's the effects are going to release even sooner than planned.
The effects of yum.
Is this good? Who made these?
My wife. Do you know what soursop is, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that big.
It's where you wear a sock like for too long and it starts to get a smell.
It's like a green, spiky
My feet
fruit.
Are stinking this summer. Are your feet stinking ever?
It's like
no.
a spiky green fruit, right?
Yeah. So it's not breadfruit, but it's kind of like breadfruit.
It's stinky, right?
It is stinky, but it's not the stinkiest. It's not.
That's.
The jackfruit. And then there's one that's even more stinky than that.
No,
it's not
there's the one.
Buses.
Yeah, there's the one that you're not allowed to bring it on public transportation in China.
Yeah.
Because it's big and stinky.
If you can't bring it on public transportation in China, you know it's stinky.
Yeah, I don't know the name of that fruit, but I've had it. It's not, like, once you get past the smell.
Oh, durian.
Yeah, it's a durian fruit, I believe.
Yeah, faster than Google.
That crap smells like crap.
Like crap.
And I'm trying to use adjectives because
I keep using
this
durian mouthwash in the morning. Is that why my wife won't kiss me anymore?
Among other reasons. Probably not why. Why is this muffin like pink in the middle though? It's medium rare.
Everything's pink.
This muffin's medium rare.
She's like, it's a cupcake but without the frosting. I'm like, then that's a muffin, sweetie pie.
Yeah, a cupcake is not a cupcake unless there's frosting on it, right?
I think so.
Did she actually make sour sock?
Yeah, sour sock.
As a prank.
Sour
like,
sock.
Add a little bit of sock. twist and shout that little sock out.
The more sour, the better.
No, so it uses just soursop as the base of it, and then there's actually a little bit of almond flour in it. So it's almost gluten-free.
Mm.
It is, right? Yeah, what's so. Where's the gluten? What are, you, the, what are you putting the in there?
I don't know. I don't know what soursop's made out of. It's fruit, so there's no gluten in fruit, right?
There's no fruit. It's fruitin'.
There is gluten in socks, though, so you should probably clarify
Spoiler alert, though. Christy ate a bunch of these yesterday and farted quite a bit, so I don't know what the future holds for us, but they are very yummy.
But
and
maybe we should open the door.
We should have waited to have these until the end.
That's why I told you to wait, Rhonda.
I'll take my microphone out in the hall.
Now I've got some coffee to put on top of that.
Just sit on that microphone, baby. Mm. Fart jokes never get old.
Well, if you're listening at home, this is the Biscuits and Gravy Show. You might be listening on 88.5 KEKU, the voice of gravy, if you're listening live.
Might be.
If you're within one block radius of KEKU, that's as far as our tower goes.
Yeah, you can actually hear me farther.
It's the voice of gravy, but the smell of soursop farts.
Yes. Soursop farts!
And also, if you want to listen to us later on in the show,
hey,
hold on,
sour
Tony's here.
It tastes like puto.
Come here.
I don't think you can say that on the radio.
It tastes like puto.
What is puto?
Like a Filipino, baked good. It's like a bun.
Okay, good. All right, that's way different.
I was like, what did you call me?
Yeah.
You're a puto.
A Filipino baked bun. Ooh, wow. That's what they call me every time I go to L.A.? They call me a Filipino baked bun?
That's what they were calling you all along.
The reviews are in. Tastes like a Filipino baked bun.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
KAKU 88.5.
The voice of bun.
The voice of puto.
So, kind of a crazy world we're living in now, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
In what way?
I think the Hawk Tua girl has taken over the entire internet.
Oh my God. Everything.
Yeah.
So someday we're going to listen back to this episode. We're going to be like, that was a fun 2 weeks.
Whenever you feel like you're having a hard time in life, just remember that girl has to go to her family's Thanksgiving dinner.
You know what?
Has a job, probably.
I think she loves it. Have you seen the whole interview?
No.
She's a very animated individual, and she has a bunch of responses to everything that they asked her.
In addition to the Hawk Tua.
I believe that she's also selling hats now. She's selling Hawk Tua merch. I think she's really leaning into it, and I mean, no better time to capitalize on something like that than right now.
Leaning into it?
You gotta strike while the iron's hot, yeah. Sometimes you gotta lean in, you gotta spit on it.
Put your back into it.
You gotta put your back into it.
Wow, what a jaw-dropping interview that was. Watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
We're going to finish today's episode.
I did a spit take.
That voice, of course, is the one and only comedian extraordinaire, Rhonda Lee Kitz.
Don't you just wait to introduce me until I beat you at the Buffalo trivia?
Nobody stumps the Buffalo.
Do you ever do just purely Buffalo facts?
I believe one time we did some Buffalo facts.
Nice.
He does plug that Buffalo joke that he wrote about
that was
three times
back in episode 50. That was a long time ago. So, yeah, this is Rhonda Hansen joining us today. Maui's number two comedian.
Number two next to Rhonda Lee Kitz.
You only have to compete with yourself.
No, I don't know where I'm ranking. I was on
You were in the comedy competition, right? You finished behind Jose Raymond.
Yep.
Yeah, that was an interesting.
Because when everybody thinks about Maui's funniest comedian, everybody thinks Jose Raymond.
Yes, absolutely.
Number two.
So,
number two.
Yeah, there's no shame in being number two. We're Maui's number two radio show.
Number two.
So you're gonna fit in right with us.
I'm happy to be number two. I was a second born twin.
So already the stars have aligned.
I just understand the amount of pressure it takes off not being number one.
You're a fraternal twin, which is the number two coolest type of twin.
Yep. And when I have children, I'll be a paternal twin.
Oh.
There you go. Does your brother have kids?
Yes. I guess he's a paternal twin. Yeah, that would be funny.
Your brother the lumberjack?
Yeah, part-time.
Part-time lumberjack.
Part-time lumberjack.
I feel like nobody's a part-time lumberjack. I feel like a lumberjack is a way of life.
No, dude, there's tree season and there's not tree season.
Is that volunteer firefighters? A volunteer lumberjack?
How do you think the regular...
We gotta get this tree out of the way!
I had on our sketch comedy podcast, I had the idea of doing a volunteer surgeon.
You know what you've practiced for your whole life? Yeah, I just do it in my free time.
I mean, I could take a whack at it if you need somebody.
It's like that guy from Catch Me If You Can.
That's what surgery was like 200 years ago, though. Just take a whack at it.
Yeah.
They just were like, all right.
I want to someday, like, give somebody an emergency tracheotomy. If somebody's choking and they're like, what are we going to do? He's choking. I'm like, get me a Bic pen.
Yeah, baby.
I've seen this in the movies.
Yeah, or like piercing with the lung.
Yes.
So they can get air.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's another one.
We've all seen it.
Yeah, we've all seen it done.
Isn't that the beginning of Lost? Don't they do that in
you
Lost?
Can, I'll die.
Yeah.
You don't have to, nobody has to open up my airways with a Bic pen.
So you'd rather die than get an emergency tracheotomy from a dude in a 7-Eleven?
Do I have to talk like this forever?
No.
No.
Like,
that's only people
Robert
who have
Kennedy.
Their voice box removed.
And Ariel. Ariel talks like that the rest of her life.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
The princess?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
She was seduced by Ursula.
How could she not be?
Yeah. Along with Chuck Thompson, who is a big fan of Ursula. I don't know if you heard last week's episode, but
I didn't.
Or any of the episodes, but Chuck has a big thing for Ursula.
I listen to the episodes I'm on. They're great.
One step above me. We're going to finish today's episode off with a lovely segment we call Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo.
I think you're going to say tentacle fetish.
Tentacle.
I mean, Ursula encompasses a lot of different fetishes.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's only so much
I can talk
about
Ursula.
MILF of the sea.
BBW, tentacle.
Yeah.
Purple.
Oh, man.
Is she what color hair?
Oh, it's like silver.
Oh, right.
It's like silver,
gilf.
She's like a silver water fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, this brings up a good point. This is something that we talked about last week, but Rhonda, feel free to weigh in.
Yeah, well,
if you had to have sex with a Disney character, who would you choose?
Aladdin.
Aladdin? Ooh,
you don't want a magic carpet ride, am I right?
Yeah.
That's interesting because also...
Oh, Tarzan. Duh, Tarzan.
Oh, well, duh.
Duh.
Aren't you worried, though?
Is that a duh?
Oh, Prince Eric, actually. Smell? No, the guy from Pocahontas.
John Smith.
You know.
Mel Gibson?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. So you just named all of them.
Exactly.
I mean,
Prince Eric is...
All at the same time? Or separate days?
Prince Eric was pretty handsome.
He was handsome, but also a dummy. You know?
Was he a dummy, though?
He didn't really get what was going on, right?
What about Tarzan?
Tarzan was dummy in a wilderness kind of way.
Tarzan,
though,
I feel
Brendan
Fraser
Tarzan or Phil Collins Tarzan?
Either or.
Okay.
Or Phil Collins.
Ooh.
Brendan Fraser wasn't Tarzan. He was George of the Jungle.
Oh.
Completely different. Duh.
But, I'm so sorry, guys.
Yeah.
That's right. And how dare I say this is the Truth Network?
Actually, Brendan Fraser from The Whale.
Yeah.
But Chuck's number one was like Princess Jasmine. So we got Princess Jasmine and Aladdin.
Yeah, everybody's into the spice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You guys should watch Aladdin together.
I would have one heck of an Arabian night with her.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I said Belle.
Well, she's got the tiger, too.
Yeah.
Tiger tamer. Belle?
I think I'd make a carpet out of the tiger and then nail her on that.
Beast is another one.
Well, yeah.
But that just starts to walk a confusing
now,
line.
Now, how about Beast from the 1990s X-Men?
But like...
Yes, also.
Right?
Yeah.
What if Beast, but you know he's like a human?
That's the loophole.
That's the loophole, is that you know he's human.
Yeah, that makes it less hot.
that makes it less hot?
Interesting.
You know, the girls that are into Beast, it's really, there's just another...
Is there a whole subculture of that?
I don't even know how sub it is. I mean, it can't be any more subculture than...
It's just culture.
It can't be any more subculture than, what was it the last time I was here? Baby adults?
Oh, the baby diapers.
The baby diaper
baby
people.
Diapers.
Yeah.
So you're saying that there's a larger percentage of the female population that is into the Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say female, too. I bet, because furries are so popular, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that lends itself to all of that, right?
I don't think there's straight guys who are furries who are into the Beast because he's
if
furry.
If you're a straight guy listening, call us and tell us which prince you would be most DTF.
Yes.
Okay.
Give us a call at 808-873-3435.
That's interesting that you mentioned that, because we found out that the Disney character that has the number one most amount of hentai porn dedicated to it is Judy Hopps from Zootopia.
I don't even know who that is.
So you've never seen Zootopia?
I think
She's
I watched
a bunny
part
rabbit.
Of it. That can't be true.
It's true.
Really?
Yeah.
What is her deal? Is it like, well, I remember the bunny from Space Jam.
Bunny from she Space Jam.
We talked about that. Lola Bunny.
Yes.
Has,
she was fantastic. So I that's right. Her I would understand because I know that, but I don't
but
know
we,
this person.
We talked about this on the last episode of how there is an extreme amount of porn
Jessica
related
Rabbit.
To Lola Bunny and also
She's
Jessica
not a
Rabbit.
Rabbit
I know, but that's the loophole.
And maybe again, Babs Bunny to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny.
There's something about anthropomorphized bunnies that we find attractive.
Yeah, you know, there's the expression.
Well, we're conditioned growing up to find rabbits sexy.
Are we?
Absolutely. We're Easter, fertility, chocolate, nibbling on the little bunny.
Now, did you ever
nibbling on the bunny? Get a sweetness?
Ears are a metaphor.
Nibbling on the bunny? Y'all what? Nibble on some bunnies?
What is the...
We also talked about how millennials... are attracted to bunnies, but boomers are attracted to foxes. That's why they, when the woman is attractive, they call her a fox.
Mm.
Now, were you ever attracted to the Robin Hood fox?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's got powerful fingers.
Because in Zootopia, Jason Bateman plays a fox.
Oh, and
there's
the
a lot
rooster.
Of... Oh, the rooster.
What? Okay. From, wait, from or Rock-a-Doodle-Doo.
No, from the
Cockadoodle-Doo.
Hold on.
That ability.
Wait, is the movie called Cockadoodle-Doo or Rockadoodle-Doo?
No, I think it's Rockadoodle-Doo.
You're thinking of Chicken Run.
No, I'm not thinking of Zach Braff.
No one's
banging Zach Braff in a claymation or in real life. No one's banging Zach Braff, Rhonda.
You're thinking Chicken Run.
Wait, what's Zach Braff in?
He's in Chicken Run.
I thought that was Mel Gibson. Was it Mel Gibson and Chicken Run?
They get mixed up all the time.
Oh, yeah. You know that movie Garden State with Mel Gibson?
Who directed Passion of the Christ?
It's not Rock-a-Doodle-Doo. It's Rock-a-Doodle.
It's Rock-a-Doodle.
And Glenn Campbell's in it?
That was notoriously a flop, if I'm not mistaken, Rock-a-Doodle.
Well, it didn't make me flop.
Now look up who was in Chicken Run.
All right.
Today's show is brought to us by James Franco's Hot Dogs. His Franks are frankly the best.
Frankly the best.
They even had scenes in the Robin Hood of like the Maid Marian looking into his twinkly eyes. Ooh. He was charming in the... And the rooster can whistle.
Yes.
The rooster could whistle, which is hard to do with a beak, so it's even more impressive.
And narrate, too. There's something admirable about that.
It's hard to whistle with a beak and narrate. Yeah.
Okay, Zach Braff was in Chicken Little, and Mel Gibson was in Chicken Run.
Oh, yeah. Chicken.
And then Glenn Campbell, Rock-a-Doodle-Doo.
Mm.
More like Rock-a-Doodle.
Chicken Run was great.
Mm. Chicken Run? Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Dude,
yeah, because it's by the Wallace and Gromit guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are,
that's the Zach Braff I'm
always
not
good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the Zach Braffy railing? Is that what you said?
The one I'm not railing.
Did you ever watch? Oh, okay.
Which one's the longer list?
Which is
the
one? That's Rhonda Lee Kitz, everybody.
Did you ever watch Scrubs? Are you a Scrubs fan?
Yeah, I like Scrubs.
I had a bunch of seasons of Scrubs on DVD. And
did you lose your virginity watching it?
No, but oddly enough,
I regained it.
Scrubs was one of those shows that my ex-girlfriend and I would just sit around and watch for hours.
Good for that where you could just throw it on and it...
Have it on in the background.
A kind of a trope, too, of like, because I do a lot of binge watching, stuff that has a continual linear plot line from
episode
to episode.
But it's also episodic.
So that's the thing. The ones that are... Because I would consider Scrubs, it has an overarching plot line, but it's really... individual from episode to episode.
Exactly. So it makes it perfect for binge watching. Sort of like Seinfeld, where Seinfeld is episodic, but it also has some through lines throughout each season.
Where you're just going to be like, oh, new episode. Oh, new storyline. Oh, new storyline.
And like just putting on like a DVD of a TV series and letting it play in the background was our generation's version of Netflix and chill before Netflix came
along. You wake up with the menu.
Yeah.
And it's just playing the loudest.
It says, I'm no Superman. Yeah. I'm no Superman. I'm no
over
Superman.
Over and over the 6 seconds, over and over.
I can't do this all on my own.
Have you guys ever watched actual like cable television recently?
Yeah, at a hotel.
Like actual like events. Have you ever seen like real cable television in the past decade or so?
Not in America, but we watched a lot of cable TV in Japan. Dude, in the hotel in Japan.
So I was watching cable TV semi recently, and they speed up your classic sitcoms. So they play it at 1.2. They've always been doing that.
It's just like the original Simpsons when it was syndicated and they would show it in syndication on Fox. Remember when we were growing up, like they would show the Simpsons at 6 and 6:30 every night on Fox.
Yeah,
they cut out jokes and shortened the show to put more commercials in.
And then they speed up the show as well, and then to put more commercials in.
And then when you go back and you watch the episodes on DVD. You see extra jokes that you're like, whoa, I forgot that joke was there. I haven't seen them do that joke in so long. It's because they cut it out to make time for more ads.
I've watched a lot of The Office, and they have this whole section of shows that are, they call it like the super fan.
Oh my God, they're so good.
And it's, instead of being a 20 or 23 minute episode, it's like 54 minutes, and it's the exact same episodes with twice as much content.
They filmed so much because they also did so much improv and writing on the scene.
It's
in
so
The Office.
Funny, and it's still linear. It's not like you're seeing deleted scenes of the same cut of scene five times. It's a full episode with no duplicate.
That exists.
Yes, yeah, it's their super fan episodes. Yeah. I watch it on Peacock, but it's for the first six seasons.
Wow.
So it's a ton of new content. So I knew the old Office but almost by memory. And now watching through, you can pick out the ones where you're like, oh, this is a scene I've never seen before. You see way more of Angela and Dwight's relationship.
Interesting.
Way more of Pam and Jim's relationship. Way more stuff that gets
a lot more world building, a lot more chemistry, a lot more eye looks. Yeah. Dude, the eye looks. Yeah. So much more.
It's like watching Lord of the Rings Extended Edition after you've been watching theatrical your entire life.
Yeah. But Lord of the Rings Extended Edition is mostly food. They're like, oh, we deleted all this food scenes.
It's more Ents talking.
Yeah. And Merry and Pippin smoking and eating food.
All right, let's do a little housekeeping.
Housekeeping!
This is the Biscuits and Gravy Show. If you want to listen to all of our past episodes, you can find them at Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, really, Amazon Music or whatever. Just look up Biscuits and Gravy 808, or you can go to the website biscuitwars.com. You can listen to all of our episodes commercial-free. They're all up there.
Biscuitwars.com.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Biscuits and Gravy 808. You can also follow us on Patreon if you are so inclined.
Mm-hmm. We have one tier. It's
the biscuit tier.
And
you can listen to all of their episodes on, I find you guys on Spotify, and you can actually listen at 16 times the speed.
Yes.
There you go.
So you can get caught up.
Cut through all the commercials.
You can get caught up really quick.
You can get caught up really quick.
Biscuits.
And then you can slow it down when it gets to Rhonda's part. That's what Rhonda does. She fast forwards through us. Yeah. And then when she's talking, she puts it on normal speed. She puts it on half speed.
That's just what I do in my brain.
When I Beast from like Beauty Aladdin. And the Beast. Also, obviously. Hot take on Beauty and the Beast. When he turns into a prince,
ugly.
Total uggo. Total uggo, bro.
Ugly. Bring the Beast back.
Bring back the Beast.
Bring back the Beast.
Actually, somebody listened to our show for the first time, and they asked me
sounds rude.
They asked me if we were speeding it up on Spotify. I'm like, no, Chuck just really talks that fast.
Yeah.
Keep up.
And this is me slowing down.
Slow it
Drive
down.
Drive past the station.
How good do you think Beast smells from Beauty and the Beast? He's in a French castle
roses.
All the day.
Roses.
And all the roses, right?
Wait, so yours was Belle.
Mine was Belle.
Which really means that's code for... He wanted an F Beast.
Yeah, I guess so.
No comment.
Through the transitive properties.
Through the transitive properties, I wanted to.
What if he's just watching?
Get those Beast sloppy seconds. I'm just sitting in the cuck chair watching.
Did you like Belle because she's the one one princess that could read?
I'm attracted to intellectuals.
Well, all of the other ones were just like, grew up with a tiger or in the woods.
I just want to find a Disney character that has two parents.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I was watching Big Hero 6.
Oh, what a tearjerker.
And
dude.
Not only does he lose his parents, but then he loses his brother also.
He runs in.
It's like, can Disney characters have one family member, please?
Catch a break.
That doesn't die. They can't catch a break.
What about Frick? I guess Simba did for only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
A moment of silence.
For all those Disney parents and relatives.
Well, speaking of, Ariel's dad.
Yeah.
Okay, King Trident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he Trident?
Let him try that.
Yeah. Oh, baby. He got the oohs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. We're not going to say that on the radio.
Mm. Yeah. A deep V. You can say that the on the radio.
The deep V. If you are into comedy, well, I don't know why you're listening to this show, but you can catch, there's an open mic in Paia every Monday.
I was there this Monday.
That's at Story in Paia. Also, there's an open mic Tuesday nights in Kihei at Vibe.
Tickle Me Tuesdays.
Which I was at last night.
Oh, down the triangle.
And you guys weren't.
So, you know what that means.
It was, grim.
That's what the, every mic has its own personality and... Chino does a great job of running the Monday mic story, and I feel like it always has a very almost like
the Vibe mic has had some really good nights recently. Yeah. It's just the amount of comedians that are still showing up is dwindling. And also Vibe, every once in a while you have an issue with Vibe of people like not paying attention.
Yeah.
And during my particular set, people were a little bit on the rowdy side. There was a lot of like fake mustache application going on.
Still?
What does that mean?
Some guy brought a package of fake mustaches, and instead of listening to my set, people were putting fake mustaches on each other and taking selfies.
Does it remind you of your father growing up?
It did, actually. But
quit
I got
playing with your mustache and listen to my jokes.
I got a good Freddie Mercury joke out of it, but that was about it. But in addition to doing comedy, I also did a lot of rapping as well.
Oh.
And sometimes, every once in a while, I like to rap a little bit, and it catches people by surprise. People were more attentive to my rapping than they were to my comedy.
You should rap
comedy.
Yeah, I should do comedic rapping.
Whoa.
Next time, I was at the store the other day.
200-year-old buffalo in a usual way.
This is your niche.
Rapping puns.
In this episode, you just discovered your niche.
Yeah, I'm going to start rapping all my puns.
You're welcome.
I got to try it out at least just once.
Yeah, see? You're welcome. Now Chuck and I also get 15% of everything
that
you ever get.
Rolling in the royalties, baby.
Okay. You want to be my manager?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a hesitant guess.
Yeah. Okay.
Do managers have to do that much? Not really.
I mean, not in my work experience.
I'll collect the money.
Yeah,
there you go.
Treasurer.
Tony, do managers manage? All right.
He doesn't know.
Like, I don't know.
Also, there's a Friday open mic, too.
Oh, yeah. Empanada Lady as well, where they have drinks but no ice.
Yes.
And I found that at that mic, people are more attentive.
Yeah.
As well.
They have no other option.
Yeah. Whereas, although Vibe, I got to say, having it be a little bit more rambunctious sometimes can force you to work on wrangling the crowd. Yeah.
Steel, sharpened steel, baby.
Yeah.
I remember, though, for different mics at different places, once you're like, I've been trying to wrangle the crowd for 2 years.
It's like being in an abusive relationship.
I just want to do a joke for somebody who's listening.
Yeah, and then when you do an actual comedy show and people are sitting there with their hands folded listening intently, it's such a different experience because you're like, oh my God, you guys are like here and you're actually listening.
They're here for comedy.
You're not heckling me and talking over me and ordering drinks.
This is incredible. Yeah, you still
go. There's no P.F. Chang's on Island. I'm like, okay, but they exist in the universe that my jokes exist in.
You want to do a little What's Going On?
I would love to.
What's going on?
We've got a lot to talk about for Conspiracy Roundup.
I've got a question that's been on my mind all morning. I know everyone that's dialed into KAKU 88.5, The Voice of Maui, everyone that loves the Biscuits and Gravy Show has probably been asking themselves this question all day.
Is it What's Going On?
What's going on, baby?
I think you're going to say, where does the poo go?
Where does the poo go?
You know that movie, Greed?
Is it what's your favorite Marvin Gaye song, Chuck?
Probably What's Going On.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of conspiracies that we've uncovered, so we're going to do a quick little conspiracy roundup.
I'm ready for a new conspiracy.
Conspiracy Roundup is underwritten apart by lovely, community-minded celebrity sponsors like Paul Rubens Beef Jerky. Hey, Vince.
Yeah?
Need a shot of protein? Nobody knows more about meat than Paul Rubens.
Jerked meat.
And Scott Baio's Mayo. Hey, Vince. Put Charles in charge of your lunch.
Today's show is also brought to us by Benedict Cumberbatch's Wholesale Brown Pigment. Get your next Umber Batch from Cumberbatch.
And Johnny
Depp. You're welcome, Corky.
Johnny Depp's glasses. Hey, Vince, the best perception is Depp perception.
Okay, thanks, Rhonda. So we got a couple of things to talk about. The first thing is, have you been following all the Just Stop Oil stuff?
That no.
They've really been ramping up in the last week.
No, I've been getting pretty into adult coloring books. So.
Okay. Well,
ooh, have you ever done an anti-coloring book?
Interestingly, no. These Just Stop Oil people are adults who are coloring things.
Oh. Well,
they spray painted Stonehenge orange.
They spray painted Prince Charles's demonic painting.
And they spray painted Taylor Swift's Jet orange. At first, I thought it was like a Nickelodeon viral marketing campaign.
That'd be great. Yeah. Bring Ooh. Slime back.
Yes, bring slime back. But it turned out it was just Don't Stop Oil people. So don't Just Stop Oil is this
don't
group of
oil.
Climate. It's a group of climate activists who are...
Travel the world.
They travel the world spray painting stuff orange and
I
getting
thought
arrested.
You meant Don't Stop Oil...
It's Just Stop Oil.
Oh, he said, I thought this was a pro-oil type of thing.
Well,
you're listening to pro-oil on the Biscuits and Gravy Show.
Well, this is a conspiracy, is they've been getting a lot of blowback because I understand spray painting Taylor Swift's Jet, but they got a lot of blowback from spray painting Stonehenge, which everybody disliked. No one was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves Stonehenge.
How much oil did they use to build Stonehenge?
None.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay. So
if anything, they should be super pro Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Because it was built without any oil.
Stonehenge has been around for so long, they're going to have such a hard time finding that original can of paint that perfectly matches.
Yeah,
to
repaint Stonehenge.
That's in somebody's garage somewhere, buried under something.
No, you just get that Chinese guy who does all the paint matching by eye. Have you ever seen him on YouTube?
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
I want one of those paintings.
Of what?
I want the Chinese
Orange
guys
Henge?
That can replicate. Yeah, Orangehenge.
But, I mean, like, it was just, like, powdered paint, so they weren't trying to actually spray paint it. But everybody was super mad that they defaced Stonehenge. And also, Taylor Swift is very popular, so they got a little bit of blowback from, like,
Swifties.
The Taylor Swift community. So there has been a little scuttlebutt going on that is Just Stop Oil actually being run by the pro-oil people to make oil protesters look ridiculous.
Ooh. Or do protesters make themselves look ridiculous?
Protesters do tend to make themselves look ridiculous, but I mean, every once in a while there's good protests that actually do accomplish something, but a lot of times it's done in a way where it doesn't really get their point across, or sometimes, like with the Stonehenge thing, it can be counterintuitive.
So here's
I think about the Jet, like you said, the Jet thing. I mean, everybody can get on board because it's like, oh, whatever. And even Taylor Swift fans, it's like, she has so much money. She can buy a new jet. She can buy a new orange jet.
Yeah.
Think two steps ahead.
One that's already orange.
Yeah.
So the next time, that's the reason why UPS trucks are brown.
Yeah.
So they don't look dirty.
And whoever owns Stonehenge clearly doesn't have money because they haven't rebuilt that thing at all.
It's dated.
Yeah, that's a fixer-upper.
It's crumbling.
It's mechanic special.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, even Taylor Swift fans have to admit, like, well, maybe you shouldn't be taking a private jet everywhere. Because she can afford a really nice tour bus. She could afford the nicest of tour bus.
If I could avoid
just set up kingdoms in every state and play concerts there for like a month and then move to another state.
Why don't you get an electric jet? Are we close to getting electric jets yet?
E-jets. I think the closest thing they have is that jetpack thing you put in the water where the water shoots out of
it.
She should travel over the ocean that way.
Yeah, can you imagine if she came down on stage and that's how she entered her concert was on some water jet thing?
No, she'd have to come out of the water.
Yeah.
So the water's in the middle of the stage, and she comes up out of it.
Yeah, it's like a giant tank like at SeaWorld. All right, but here is a little fun tidbit for you. Ready? Just Stop Oil is primarily funded by a group called Climate Emergency Fund, right? Mm-hmm. The Climate Emergency Fund is primarily funded by U.S. philanthropist Eileen Getty, who is the heiress to the Getty fortune. And as you know, Getty is a major oil company founded by oil tycoon J. Paul Getty.
Yeah.
Now, Getty is now owned by Lukoil, but you're from the Northeast.
Yeah.
You probably remember Getty Oil.
Yeah.
And Getty gas stations being a thing when you and I were growing up.
Yeah.
Because they were primarily in like the Northeast quadrant of the
Getty's,
United States.
Dude. And what color was the Getty sign?
It was orange.
Dude.
We just cracked this whole thing wide open.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
In real time, you just...
Orange, baby.
Conspire. Conspire right now.
The second conspiracy that we found out about this week... Yes,
Rhonda. So you just Googled that and found that stuff out.
Well, I knew the orange thing right now.
That's crazy.
So I heard a rumor about Just Stop Oil being funded by Big Oil, and I did some research, and I found out the connection to Alien Getty.
Getty Oil. Orange, baby.
Wow, it is orange.
Wow.
It kind of looks like Stonehenge.
Whoa!
Is that what they mean by follow the money?
Yes. Anybody who's ever seen The Wire knows that.
I haven't seen The Wire, but I have.
As I'm well aware of,
I'm drunk with Vincent Archangel Gravy Fody III.
Yeah.
I've followed the money before, just in the Safeway parking lot when you find a dollar, and then you look up and then there's another dollar nearby and somebody has lost a little wad of money. And
it's like a Scrooge McDuck character with a hole in his pocket.
Yeah, exactly. And so
I've also a trail of breadcrumbs.
I've followed the money.
There you go. Cui bono? Who benefits? Not Getty Oil, because they're out of
business.
They
still got their hands in all the oil pots.
But yeah. All right. The other cool thing that we found out this week is that it turns out, we stumbled upon an article, that it turns out that the CIA may have been behind backing a lot of modern art. It turns out that abstract expressionism as a movement in the 40s and 50s was almost entirely funded by the CIA. And the reason for this, it seems ridiculous.
Spy on the Russians and to...
But the reason for it was...
one over on the Russians.
Because...
Subliminal programming.
A lot of artists, you get a lot of artists who are were into communism and anti-capitalism. And they wanted to make American art look appealing to U.S. artists, and also they wanted to make America art friendly. And the way that they were doing this was to fund this whole idea of abstract expressionism.
Make America paint again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's also, at this time, there was a Russian art style that was pretty much completely funded by the Soviet government, which was realism. And so to make the U.S. seem culturally relevant, and also to act as like a countermeasure to Russian,
to the space race,
to Soviet realism, they decided to fund a major art genre that was completely different than realism, which was abstract expressionism.
Which was Jackson Pollock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, it sounds crazy, but it had a really big effect on making the U.S. look like a leader in the art culture.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jackson Pollock's got his bucket on a string above the art, and he's like, we're cultured.
Cultured, baby.
Release the bucket!
And for a while, this was like something that was rumored, but apparently there's been stuff coming out of documents that have been released where it turns out that it pretty much happened to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And you have a Jackson Pollock print in your house.
I do.
So you fell for this psyop by the CIA.
Well, here's the thing. It's more multifaceted.
You just believe anything anyone tells you. Huh?
Yeah, Chuck.
Only you, Rhonda. The CIA also made a bunch of money before they started selling drugs and ruining black people's lives. They took all the art from Europe after World War II and brought it to make money. So they started getting in the art dealing game. Now, the CIA also needs to wash their money. They need to do a lot of money laundering, as do a lot of rich people, right? And what's the easiest way to wash and launder money? Through art.
In a washing machine. Oh, art.
Art, yeah. It's the easiest way to wash and launder money.
You can buy a one pound thing can be worth millions of dollars.
You just get it appraised.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing, too. It's that you can get art appraised, have it be worth millions and millions of dollars, and then you can use that as a form of currency. You donate it, and then you get a tax write-off for it.
Yeah.
But also, if you have all that money and you're paying taxes on it, you can get it turned it, you can buy some art with it. If you put that art in storage, it's sort of like putting your plates in storage. Mm-hmm. And so while your art is in storage, you don't have to pay taxes on those assets as well.
Yeah.
So it's another way of like tax avoidance for the super rich.
Now, the CIA also later, we think, wrote the song The Winds of Change. Have you heard that rumor?
No.
So the CIA, so skip to the 80s, right? And the Berlin Wall. They're trying to figure out how to get to the Berlin Wall. And the CIA tries lots of weird stuff. But we'll do a deep dive on this next episode, listening to the Biscuits and Gravy show next week.
The Winds of Change?
The CIA allegedly wrote The Winds of Change, and that brought down the Berlin Wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So they're might,
also
they're
the song "Spirit in the Sky" about having a friend in Jesus, written by a Jewish guy.
Yeah, written by the most Jewish guy.
All right, now you guys ready to play a game?
Yeah, dude.
All right, so we're gonna play a game today in honor of learning that the CIA funded abstract expressionism. We're gonna play a little game called Op Art.
Okay.
I know what this is already. I have
All right.
Feeling.
Op Art is brought to us by Sylvester Stallone Speech Therapy Center for when your speech skills are a little rocky.
Funding for the Biscuits and Gravy Show comes in part by Paul Rudd's Rudders. Don't be clueless about your rudders.
And also by Jeremy Irons Irons. You'll be impressed with Jeremy's irons.
And Brad Pitt's peaches. Vince, there's a little pit inside every peach.
Every peach.
Tom Cruise's missiles. Hey, Vince.
Yeah?
If you need a bomb at the box office, choose Cruise. And they'll blow up anything from A to Xenu.
And also by Paul Reiser's yeast. Hey, Vince. Yes. He makes a great Jewish rye.
I'll be mad about
Paul's Reiser's yeast.
And Helen Hunt's rifles. Hey, Vince. Yeah. Your rifles are as good as it gets.
Oh, don't I know it. All right. So today our game is called Op Art, and this is a game where I'm going to read you the name of something, and you have to tell me if it's the name of a CIA operation or the name of a Jackson Pollock painting.
Yay! I knew this is what you were going to do. Right.
Okay. So these are we ringing in?
You can ring in if you want.
I didn't get my whistle. How am I supposed to break Rhonda's fingers like a CIA agent?
All right. So once again, this is Op Art. These are real names of CIA operations, actual CIA operations, and Jackson Pollock paintings, okay? All right, first one. Ocean Grayness.
Pollock.
No, CIA.
Rhonda was correct. It's Jackson Pollock. All right, Mongoose.
CIA.
Oh, CIA. I rung the bell.
You're right. Rhonda rang the bell first. Operation Mongoose, the CIA conducted terrorist attacks against Cuban civilians.
Yes.
No surprise there.
That was an Ocean
All right,
greatness.
Next one. Two.
Pollock.
That's correct.
It's a good one, too. Two's good.
All right. Enchanted Forest.
Oh, CIA.
No, that's Jackson Pollock.
That's like -3 for Chuck now.
Yes. I'm shooting the moon.
All right. Paperclip.
Oh, CIA.
That is correct. It was CIA. Chuck, you're not gonna, if you're not
That's
ringing in,
where
you're not
instead
gonna,
of ringing people up for war crimes, they created NASA.
No, that was when we got a bunch of Nazi scientists to work for
who tortured
for the
twins.
Government.
Yeah, I know. That's why we like.
Also, like that I said Nazi, like
Nazi.
Like Brad Pitt in Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah, that's right.
I want my Nazi scalps. All right. Chuck, can you even reach the bell?
Barely.
You can.
Mockingbird.
Yes, get CIA.
That is... Wait, who rang in that time?
I rang in every time.
Okay. Not fair.
Okay, we're just going to put the bell next to Rhonda here.
Yeah.
Rhonda, that is correct. Operation Mockingbird was an effort to wiretap journalists.
Nixon.
Alchemy.
Jackson Pollock.
That's correct.
Jesus Christ. What am I even here?
Jackson
correct,
Pollock.
Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
MK Ultra.
CIA.
CIA. God. I'm waiting to ring in. I shouldn't wait to ring in.
That is correct, Rhonda. No, this is how you're going to win because you're the only one that can reach the bell.
Shut up.
Here, I'll put it even closer and I'll still win.
All right. Are you close enough where you can ring it?
I'm close enough where I should be able to reach it.
But you have to ring it and then talk.
Okay.
All right. 40.
Jackson Pollock.
No. I'm sorry. Operation 40 was a CIA operation where they used Cuban exiles to try to seize control of the Cuban government after the Bay of Pigs invasion.
So what's that, negative six now?
I'm you know.
All right. Chaos.
You know what?
You'll get it right.
Rhonda, that is incorrect. Chaos. Operation Chaos was a CIA domestic espionage project targeting American citizens. All right. Circumcision.
Pollock.
That is correct. It's a Jackson Pollock painting.
Guess how he did it.
All right. Moon Woman.
Pollock.
That is correct. Moon Woman. He has actually multiple paintings with the name Moon Woman in it.
Operation Moon Woman sounds terrifying.
Can women survive on the moon? That sounds like a 50s CIA operation.
With no science.
Can women breathe on the moon?
With no golf carts.
Let's send a woman and a monkey up to space and see what happens.
Cannonball.
CIA.
That is correct. Operation Cannonball was a CIA operation to capture Osama bin Laden, which ended up not working. Convergence.
Pollock.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. It's a Jackson Pollock painting. Very good. Chuck.
That's what I have in my house.
Chuck's on the board.
That's the one I knew.
Azorian.
Pollock?
No. Chuck, do you want to ring
CIA.
In?
CIA.
That's Azorian, baby. Azorian was a CIA project to recover a sunken Soviet submarine.
Oh.
All right, next one. Blue Poles.
Pollock.
Stop Googling stuff, Chuck.
Pollock.
Blue Poles is correct. That's a Jackson Pollock painting. All right, Merlin.
CIA.
You didn't even try to ring in, Chuck. Rhonda? CIA is correct. Operation Merlin was a CIA operation to provide Iran with flawed nuclear weapon plans.
Whoa!
The flawed weapons were stuck into stones.
Yeah. It happened under the Clinton administration. Yellow Island.
Pollock.
That's correct. Rubicon.
Pollock.
No, Rubicon.
It's actually a Jeep product.
Rubicon was a CIA operation to gather encrypted communications from other countries. They also worked with West Germany on that one. All right. Lucifer.
CIA, both?
That's a Jackson Pollock.
Ah.
Yeah. I would have went CIA on that one, too.
That
it sounds like
the
name of a CIA
operation.
Because
they are the devil.
But it's actually a Jackson Pollock painting, Lucifer. Viking Hammer.
CIA.
It's Pollock. Oh.
No, Chuck is correct. That's CIA operation that went on in Iraq to dismantle the Islamic Emirate of Bayara. Viking Hammer. It was Operation Viking Hammer. That was during the Afghanistan War, I believe. White Giant.
Pollock.
No.
What is the CIA?
That's correct, Chuck.
I don't want to know what that operation was.
White Giant was a CIA military offensive conducted in the Congo. All right, and our last one.
Whoa, what a rude thing to say.
Our last one, Teacup.
Pollock.
That is correct. Very good.
I think we could all say that's pretty close. I'd say 50-50.
Yeah.
Tie goes to the host.
Tie goes to the one
and
who rang
usually it's somewhat close, but Rhonda, you blew Chuck out of the water this time. So congratulations. You are...
Yay.
You are 100% the winner of
Cheats of the
Arts.
Who.
So very good.
Now the question is, am I a CIA operative or circumcised?
Yes.
Can it be both? And Op Art was brought to us by Jim Croce's Spice Rack for when you need to put time in a bottle.
Op Art is proudly underwritten in part by Margaret Thatcher's Roofs. Hey, Rhonda.
Hey.
Need a new roof?
Hey, what am I, chopped liver over here?
Get a Thatcher!
He's so jealous now. It went straight to his head. You know, Vince, those games you come up with are very fun. You don't get enough credit for that.
That's
probably
a really good one.
Probably
a good one.
Never will get enough credit, but those are good.
Well, you know what? The credit that you're giving me right now is all I've ever asked for, Rhonda, so I appreciate
you
that.
Never asked.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why I never get it.
Maybe
should have asked for some
you
credit.
You could have just been asking this whole time. Only took us 9 years to thank Vince for
my fun games.
Yeah.
What was the rapid fire one we did with you the other a couple weeks
we
ago?
We did one that was OJ Simpson
or
oh,
yeah.
or the Simpsons.
Simpson, yeah, it was OJ or
Homer.
Simpson. Yeah, that was a fun one.
There was the one too about rhyming with Rhonda.
Yeah, Sandra.
Oh, infamous. That's infamous.
That Sandra.
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 Let's not reinvestigate
Let's not solely a good day.
Let's, yeah. okay, so we already talked about Disney porn, so we got right into that one ahead
of
schedule.
By the way, scary on the Disney porn, Rhonda, do you know who's number two on the list? Lilo from Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo's not number two.
She's on it.
But unfortunately...
Oh, wait, the bunny. Is it a sexy bunny? This bunny that I don't know about?
You've never seen... Oh, yeah. I'll show you a picture
of Judy
Hopps.
I feel like the stuff I've seen of Zootopia, it's very cartoonish.
She's too slender for me.
It's very cartoonish.
I want
not
a thicker rabbit. But you know?
It's not like.
Did you say
Lola,
you did
right?
see Zootopia?
I think I've seen clips, but I don't know who this is. Yeah, no, I didn't know.
Yeah, that's she's a cop.
Oh, that's why.
And she's a rabbit.
A lady cop.
And,
under arrest.
Jason Mrs. Bateman Officer, plays a fox in Zootopia, and there's a lot of hentai involving the two of them.
Oh. Wow.
All right, let's do a quick gluttony club.
Master
One,
Bateman.
I want to give a shout out to South Maui Fish Company. I went to their taco place again.
Always so good.
Not only do they have some of my favorite fish tacos, but
they're so
great.
They're super friendly. The dude somehow knew I was Kama'aina and gave me Kama'aina without me saying anything or asking for it. And also, instead of having the Veggie Mac, they just happened to have the smoked marlin Veggie Mac.
Oh, you dirty dog.
It was so good. It was unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Also, I took your advice and tried something that I never had before, blue cheese in my Brussels sprouts.
Yum.
Was it good?
Of course. I did,
so good, right?
I did sautéed onions and bacon mixed in with my diced up Brussels sprouts that I broiled in a little bit of chicken stock. And then I drained it and mixed everything together, diced up the bacon and the onions and mixed it all together, and then mixed in a little bit of blue cheese dressing and a whole thing of blue cheese crumbles. Oh,
nice.
Man, amazing.
Dude, blue cheese is so good.
And Diana loves blue cheese and Brussels sprouts, and I'm surprised that we hadn't thought to combine the two before. It was so good, man. Hot.
You need
it
the
was
bacon,
good, hot
though,
or cold.
To cut the cheesiness of the blue.
Yeah, exactly. And also, we got to try Burger Boys for the first time.
Where is that?
Well, you got to try Burger Boys. I had already had it. I said it was
Oasis. Remember that open mic we got kicked out of?
That Ted Anderson got us kicked out of?
Narrow it down. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Narrow it down. I got kicked out of.
The one Ted Anderson got us kicked out of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the South Maui Oasis.
Discount Couch.
Don's Couch's South Maui Discount Couch House is right next door. It's a food truck that's in there. They have one of my favorite smash burgers on island. They have the buns are shokupan buns, which is the Japanese milk bread. So delectable.
If so you're it's a juicy burger, but the bread
doesn't...
Oh, that doesn't...
place. Yeah. I thought you meant the place above the tennis courts.
No, no.
Which tennis courts?
There was some place in Wailea that we were...
That was the place that was owned by, what's his name, who did comedy?
Malik. Yeah, yes.
Huh. No, that's... You're thinking of Island Boys Shave Ice. This is Burger Boys...
I don't know.
Malik also owned the Shave Ice place.
For Gluttony Club, so I got some good tacos. Queso Birria tacos.
Ooh, where'd you go?
Ooh, where?
Across from Costco. And it's
The food trucks.
Las Italias or something. It's right next to the Mochi. Mochi.
Wow, they got good. I love birria tacos.
Islitas. Super good. Yeah, and it's their queso birria tacos.
Okay.
And they're very...
It's so hard to find a good birria taco.
So, so good. And, yeah, it's that one... It's the one that's not the lot closer to the gas station, the lot closer to the Costco food court.
Yes.
That
okay.
One.
So not the place with the Grateful Dead burger place.
No. They are looking... They got a niche market.
With coffee and two cheesy guys.
Yes, yes. And it's on the... More in the... It's not in the main circle of
it's
trucks.
It's on the peninsula.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that place because every time I'm pumping gas at Costco, it's like, friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I'm like, all right. I'm like, where is that Grateful Dead music coming from? And it's, oh, yeah, the Grateful Dead burger food truck.
Every time I'm there, it's like a reggae cover band. And I'm like, could this gas get out faster?
I drive by there every day and now I'm starting to get used to it. But it's the feeling of somebody with really loud music driving past you where I'm like, somebody trying to pass me? And it's like, oh no, I'm passing the super loud food truck.
Also, I tried something really weird for the first time, something called Slaw Pops, which is... It's popular in Appalachia, like West Virginia, kind of like Brian Michaels territory.
Mm. I don't know.
It's basically it's like a coleslaw popsicle where you just freeze coleslaw and eat it like a popsicle. It was good, but it's like in something that you like, but in a weird context, like being drunk at the gym.
Yeah.
It's I wouldn't recommend it, but it was interesting to try.
At a certain point I'm open to trying any food. At a certain point, I'm like, why do we need it? Do we need a frozen slaw pop?
Well, or like the recipes where it's like, well, did you know if you take a hot dog,
that's what I wanted to know.
Spaghetti in it, and then boil
it. I like that one. That one's fun.
No,
it turned out the answer was no. Although I did make some cheeseburger little bun bombs, which were awesome.
90 seconds.
All right. Our first question. Oh, Chuck's Stuff and Knowledge Buffalo is when Chuck tries to prove that he's the smartest buffalo in the room. Our first question comes from Danny in Charlotte, North Carolina. Probably a fan of slaw pops down there in North Carolina. Danny wants to know, what band sang the 2000 hit song Butterfly?
Oh, my God. They just died. You're my butterfly. Sugar baby.
Come, my lady. Come, my lady.
Something Garden, but not Soundgarden.
No, it's not Soundgarden.
Do you know? You're my butterfly.
I know the
sugar
song.
Sugar baby. I give up.
It was Crazy Town.
Crazy Town. And I should have known that. Cause
Crazy Town.
He died the other day, didn't he?
Yeah, the guy's name was Shifty Shellshock. He was 49. Rest in peace, singer of Crazy Town. All right, our second question comes from Mason in Cedar Point, Ohio. Mason wants to know, where is Madagascar?
Madagascar is an island off of Africa.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Specifically, the southeast coast of Africa. And our third question is always a sports question because, as you know, sports is Chuck's Achilles hoof. Colin and Kihei sent this one in. Who won the Stanley Cup?
Pollock.
Jackson Pollock is correct. He won the Stanley Cup. And you got 2 out of 3, Chuck. And you know what our deceased friend Meatloaf always says.
I feel like that's
won the Stanley Cup.
You want to take a guess who won the Stanley Cup?
The Stanley Cup was won by the Golden Nuggets. Everyone knows that.
All right, not a hockey team. And that also means that that's the end of our show. It was the Florida Panthers.
Gravy,
the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history. So congratulations, Florida Panthers. They beat the Oilers.
Wow. Congratulations to Vincent Archangel Gravy III. Thank you so much. Rhonda Lee Kitts, we'll see you around the island.
Oh, they just stopped oil because they beat the Oilers.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boop. Oh, we gotta go. Boop.
From me to you, aloha.